Do you struggle with sharing really good and impactful stories or figuring out good stories to share on your podcast? Today's guest, Karen Kenny, is going to share how you can find stories in little moments in your life that you can then tie back into your business or back into your podcast episodes. This is such a fun and really delightful conversation. I think you're going to love Karen and you're going to love her accent as well. Welcome to the Listeners to Leads podcast, where we're helping podcasters launch and maintain lead-generating shows. I'm your host, Alicia Galati, the founder of Galati Media, a full-service podcast management agency. On this show, you'll hear my guests and I discuss everything that it takes to launch a successful podcast and keep it running. If you're ready to get leads, land speaking gigs, and create a deeper connection with your audience through your podcast, then this is the show for you. Hello, Karen. I'm so excited that you're here today. If you could start by telling everyone who you are, what you do, and about your podcast.
Oh my God. It's such a short question, but we'll see. I'll see if I can keep the answer concise because I always say I do a lot of things, right? So usually that question is like, what do you do for a living? Cause I do a lot of things, but what do I do for a living? So I am a certified spiritual mentor. I'm a writer. I'm a hypnotist. I'm a integrative change worker and life coach. I'm a storyteller. Let's see. I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a gateless writing instructor. I mean, I do a bunch of stuff, right? So basically I'm in the realm of helping people and doing what I kind of call shifting people, transforming their story to their glory. So really just working with people in this whole navigating this whole human being human experience, because this being human is kind of an ongoing problem. You know what I mean? Yes. So I love to combine basically like spirituality with subconscious reprogramming and somatic work and stuff like that. So I try to all the levels of healing, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical. And yeah, so that's kind of, you know, what I do. And I do that through coaching. I do it through mentoring. I do it through classes, retreats, workshops, whatever. And I have a podcast. I've had it for 5 years. I'm going on my 5-year anniversary and it's called The Karen Kenny Show. And it's all about kind of weaving personal stories, personal storytelling with spiritual concepts, down to earth spirituality, practical, applicable, relatable tools that you can kind of use in your life to, again, to navigate this whole thing. If I had a big umbrella term about what I do, it's helping people shift their perception, shifting their minds from fear to love. And I use a lot of different ways of doing that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. First of all, congratulations on 5 years. That is incredible. Most people do not get there, right? I believe it's 90% of people don't make it to 25 episodes. So 5 years. Way to go. That is awesome. So great. You mentioned gateless writing. Tell me about that. What is that?
Yeah. So gateless writing is a methodology that was created by my friend Suzanne Kingsbury, who was an author, a 2-time author. And I mean, just a brilliant, brilliant writer. And I consider her like the, how do I say this? There's so many ways to describe Suzanne, but she really loves writers and she loves writing. And she created this methodology that kind of combines like Zen with brain science with creativity. And really it's an approach where, let's say I was going to do a gateless salon or a gateless retreat. There are rules for listening. There are rules for giving feedback. There's really no rules for writing. So you'll be given a meditation or a relaxation, a chance to kind of go within. Then you're given a prompt and then we write. And the way that we do this is when you give feedback, you only give feedback on, first of all, you keep it neutral, meaning I'm not going to say, oh, I really love what Alicia wrote. We say the writer, the narrator, and we assume that everything is fictional. We don't personalize it. And we only give feedback on what we loved, where the writing was strong, the things that popped for us, moved us, stayed with us. So when the mind starts to understand that you're only going to be giving this is my, the way that I think about this. You're only going to be receiving love. The inner critic just quiets down. The fear and the anxiety, like, just kind of simmers down. So it opens up kind of like this creative portal where you can do your best work and you're just writing, best writing. Because, and again, I put everything through my lens of fear and love, right? Because you're shifting out of fear and you're creating from that natural place where your natural genius is allowed to step forward. And it's just a very powerful way of writing. So I've been doing yoga and writing workshops since 2004. And then in 2000, and what year is this? So I was in the very first gateless teacher training. In fact, I was Suzanne's assistant and I was there to, you know, do Thai yoga massage on people and be kind of the spiritual handholding. But I also went through the training and it was amazing. It was so fantastic. And so every once in a while, I'll do a little pop-up salon, a little writing and stuff, workshops. But I'm trying to finish my own memoir and my own book right now. So a lot of that has been just a lot of that kind of energy I would normally put towards writers. I'm kind of redirecting it towards myself so I can get my book done.
I'm thinking about as creators, right? Not even just writing, but as podcasters. And I know you do a lot of solo episodes, and solo episodes are so hard for people to do. And as you were talking through this gateless writing, it made me think of, like, how would we approach our solo episodes differently if we took this approach of, I'm just going to write or speak or say without any fear of, like, the inner critic, without any fear of what someone else could be thinking or what the feedback might be. I'm just going to share it, and how differently we would approach not just our solo episodes, but, and, you know, any conversations that we're having.
Okay. So in fairness, I want to kind of just go back. So as a yoga teacher of like 25 years, I've been standing in front of people and talking without them saying anything back to me for like a long time, right? So it was kind of like the pre-Karen Kenny show. It was like the Karen Kenny show, right? I mean, not that we don't have communication, but like I'm kind of running the show. Okay. Then after I became a yoga teacher, I wanted to share yoga, and this is going to all come together and make sense in a minute. Okay. So I wanted to share yoga with as many people as possible, but I knew a lot of people couldn't always afford class or come to class for a variety of reasons, whether they were ill, they were housebound, they were in prison, whatever the reason was, incarcerated. So I had a yoga TV show for 13 years on local access cable, and it went into like 15,000 different homes. And the prisoners used to write to me. That's a whole other story for another day. But it was low budget, right? There was a director in me. So he would be on the other side of the glass. I'd have these cameras pointed at me and I would have to talk for an hour by myself in a room with no feedback, me just talking. So I got used to just being the weirdo with a mic clipped to my body. Doing stuff with nobody giving me feedback. So I want to preface that, because when you say, oh, it's really hard for people, it's actually not hard for me at all. It's why I do like 95% solo episodes. I probably have one guest a month, if that. So maybe 12 guests a year. So that's prime real estate. So people who I have on my show, it's because I'm wicked curious about them. I'm interested in what they're doing. I love the work they're doing. I want more people to know about them, whatever. But I love, give me a mic and let me tell a story all day long. Okay. Now, how can people who maybe this is not a skill set that they've had a lot of chance practicing? So the number one thing is this. Imagine. So dear listeners, first of all, if you go to Target or you go grocery shopping or you go to drop your kids off at school or whatever, you go out on a date, whatever. No doubt something happens in that experience. And what do you immediately do? You grab your phone, you dial your girlfriend or your buddy or your boy, whoever, your people. And you're like, oh my God, you're not going to believe what just happened. And you're going to tell a story. So when we're able to do that so freely, so I'll just ask you, Alicia, do you sit there and think, oh my God, I have to think about the perfect way to present this to my best friend, or I have to think about the perfect way to tell my mom this story? No, you just tell the story, because you're not worried about being rejected, abandoned, or judged, right? So I often know that whether it's telling stories or putting your podcast out there or circling back to when you said 90% of people start a podcast and stop after 1 to 5 or whatever episode, 25 episodes. They don't make it, right? And it's because so much of it, I'm not going to say all of it, because life happens, right? You might get sick, whatever happens. But mostly it's because we have a fear of rejection, abandonment, or judgment. Like, what are they going to think about me if I say this? Or people think my life is so boring. I don't have, quote unquote, any original stories to tell. Nothing big or traumatic or whatever has ever happened to me. You know what I mean? So we get afraid that whatever we have to offer is not going to be good enough, aka I'm not good enough. So much of it is mindset work, spiritual work, personal development work, of being comfortable enough. Cause it starts with, I don't usually tell just random stories, but if you listen to my podcast, I sometimes will just start a podcast laughing because my cat's like slamming against the door to like come in. I think what people really want, I think people are starving, desperate, thirsty for real stories. I think people want to see our humanity. I think people want to see these different parts of us, not just quote unquote, the entrepreneur who like has their stuff together. They always got it figured out. It's like this. I think people, stories have been around since the dawn of time. And we've been telling stories to connect, to communicate, to find, you know, the dinosaurs are coming. I mean, we're talking way back then, even before words, we had drawings. People have been telling stories. It's part of our DNA. And so when we turn on the mic, first of all, people turn on the mic and then they get weird, right? They go like, oh. Because even though usually you're doing a solo episode, you're still alone in your room, you know, eventually you're already time traveling into the future. Like, oh, people are going to listen to this. And so we're not in the present moment. We're already like a month away worrying about what Pete and John and Sue are going to say about us or whatever. Right. And I would just say, like, F those people. If people are listening to your podcast just to tear you down or embarrass you or shame you or make fun of you or judge you, they're not your people. They're not your listeners. And if everybody likes you, you're doing it wrong. Because what that tells me is you're trying to Cirque du Soleil yourself into some palatable vanilla flavor that will go down easy for everybody. And what your podcast and your, and I hate the word content, but what your podcast and your quote unquote content, your storytelling, what you're putting out in the world, when done authentically and true, like real deal Holyfield, when you show up as yourself, you give people an opportunity to decide if you are their people or person or not. And you want to either really magnetize and attract or repel. Either way, it's doing the job.
How do you decide as storytellers, right? So let's shift into like, okay, we're storytellers. Let's own that. How do we add those into what we're talking about in a way that might feel well? How much prep might go into that or not go into that, depending on your personality?
Sure. So let me give you an example. So I think that we can be mining our stories, our lives for stories all the time. I'm a writer, right? So everything that I hear that I eavesdrop on, because writers are notorious eavesdroppers, everything I hear, everything that I come across, I grab inspiration for my podcast based on everything. So I just did a podcast. So episode 259. I just recorded it yesterday. And what happened was I was making dinner. So I'm making some yummy vegan snacks. I'm at the stove and I got Bob Ross. You know Bob Ross, the painter?
Oh, yeah. I've got my kids watching Bob Ross right now. They're loving it.
So Bob Ross is like on my spiritual team. I love him. Since 1983, when he first came on the scene, I've loved Bob. Okay. So he's on in the background. I leave him on for my dog sometime, right? And all of a sudden I hear Bob say this thing. I've since heard him because the Bob Ross channel is like on, right? And I've since heard him say it in 3 other episodes, but Bob Ross basically says something to this effect. If you're putting something on the palate and, he goes into that hypnotic voice of his and he's like, and you make a mistake, you know, that's okay. Just learn to use whatever happens. And it just like slams into me and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I run over and I grab a piece of paper and I write that down. That is such a spiritual nugget. It's such a spiritual piece of wisdom. So I write that down. I take it upstairs. You can see on my desk, I have pieces of paper. I'm a paper person. See all these little notes? These are like little things that I hear or I catch snippets of or an idea that I get and I write it down. That's the first thing. When something occurs to you, don't believe the baloney that you're going to remember it, because you probably won't. So whether you use notes on your phone or you're a paper person, pen person, write it down. Okay. Idea, inspiration strikes. It comes to you. If it's come to you, it's for you. It wants to be expressed through you. Trust that. Don't worry about the people. Trust that the idea has come to you. It is yours to tell in the unique way that only you or Alicia, like, you are not going to tell that story the way I tell it. I'm not going to tell it the way that you tell it. You've been given the assignment, and the assignment is alignment. So my antenna was up. It caught the frequency. It came to me. I wrote it down. Now what? So I'm going to take this idea and I'm going to weave it. I'm going to go from story to teaching. Story to spiritual principle, because that's my podcast, right?
Yeah.
So however it might work for you, you might hear another podcaster or a podcast management company or an entrepreneur say something and you think, oh, that's so good. Or you might read a quote in a book and you're like, oh, that's so good. Wicked important to say, always give credit for where the initial inspiration came from. I'm a stickler for that. I'm 55. My generation, we don't do this crap. Give credit always. It costs you nothing to give credit. It could cost you everything not to. Okay. So then you have the idea and I'm like, okay, Bob Ross says use everything. And I'm like, this is perfect. So I basically weave it in and I talk about our trauma, these things that happen to us as human beings. Mm. No matter what happens to us, we can use it. We can use it to create our own masterpiece. And I talk about how my mom was murdered when I was 12 and what masterpiece could come from that. And I talk about how I wouldn't be who I am if these things haven't happened, if I didn't have the opportunity to go overcome these challenges. You see where I'm going with it?
Yeah.
So I get a sliver. I get, as Linda Tai says, sip, sip. I get a little sip, sip of an idea. And then I just start to think about, how does this apply to how I help and serve in the world? How does this apply? So the thing is, where people sometimes have a gap is, how do I make a connection between the story and what I do for a living or what I want to think? But a story told well, it creates such connection, familiarity. It creates empathy. We remember information way better with storytelling. Storytelling is one of the best things that people can learn how to do if you have a business or a podcast, because nobody just wants to be talked at. We want our subconscious to light up, because our subconscious, 98% of what we think, say, and do is coming from our subconscious. And stories activate. That is the realm of the subconscious. So when you're telling a story, have somebody ever told a story? And even though the details are totally different than your life, you can still feel yourself crying because you can relate to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we can do this in our personal life, that's amazing. But when we can do it in our business and on our podcasts, storytelling has been a part of our culture since ancient times. And they connect us not only with our own truths and our own selves, they connect us with our audience as well. And when you're a wicked good storyteller, people will say, I'll never forget when I saw you on stage and I heard you tell that story about your mom. Or I'll never forget when I heard you on that podcast and you talked about X, Y, and Z. And so it's a way to really land into the hearts and minds of the people you're trying to reach and make a difference for.
I love that you gave the Bob Ross example, because it made me think of what I got from Bob Ross, which was him talking about beating the devil out of the paintbrush. Like, yes, he says those little nuggets, but it's that one, because my kids were like, what did he just say? Like, that's the part that I remember.
You can hear the sound, right? You can hear the sound of him doing the brush. Okay, so that was sensory. That was emotional, right? So he used the words, you had a visual, you had sound. So your senses were lighting up. So your subconscious mind was like, your brain was like a little Christmas tree. It was like, ding, 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 ding. It was like totally lighting up. And that's why it will stay with you.
Now,
so storytelling is not just saying this happened and this happened and this happened and this. And it's about pacing. It's about time. There's an art form to storytelling. But when you're like you said, I guarantee you that if you and I had enough time and you're like, oh, that Bob Ross thing really da 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 da, I would find a way, just because that's how my brain works, I'm not saying you want to do this, but if you did, I'd be like, yeah. Okay, let's create that bridge. Let's fill in that gap of telling that story and relating it to your business. And mm-hmm. how can it help? How can this little nugget help your audience take that next smallest right step for them or whatever? I mean, yeah. There's magic everywhere. There's stories everywhere. You get up and stub your toe. Like literally, people can say to me, like, I've done workshops with our mutual friend, Emily Aborn, and we talked about this, like mining your life for storytelling gold. And I'll say to people, what did you do today? And they're like, oh, I got up and made oatmeal. I'm like, I bet there's a story right there. I could find a story. But we have to be looking for them.
Yeah.
And more than that, we have to want to be connecting with people. You know, some people are more comfortable being the expert and just talking at people. And something that a very wise friend and somebody I've worked with as a, you know, she's an intuitive healer. She's a really incredible woman, Marianne C. And she credits her husband, who used to be a somatic therapist, with this. And she says, you know, information doesn't heal. Intimacy heals. So just throwing information at people isn't necessarily what helps them. It's how can they get intimate with this information? How can they use it? How can they apply it? How can they take action with it? So I think as podcasts is, it's not just like verbal vomiting on them, like all this stuff. It's really thinking about you, quote unquote, the client or the customer or the listener experience. And how are they now going to be able to take this and use it in their life? And I think, you know, really showing up as who you really are in all your humanity, with your clumsiness, with your brilliance. I always say you got to own both your brilliance and people can infer what I mean. You got to own both your brilliance and your bullshit. You know what I mean? And so when you do that, when you allow your whole self, your holy self, your full spectrum self to like show up, that's how people are going to relate to you, not by you trying to be perfect. Perfect is a myth. It doesn't exist anyways. It's just a protection mechanism. But people want to see your whole self and they want to hear your stories. If you tell them well, people are going to make meaning from them, but you don't want to just tell stories for the sake of telling stories. There's a connection, right? There's a connection there.
You put your heart and your soul into your show. And I want to help you reach all of those potential listeners out there. That's why I'm excited to announce my upcoming podcast marketing workshop. It's about giving you practical tools to grow your audience. You'll learn the secrets to getting your podcast discovered, attracting your dream listeners, and boosting those download numbers. This workshop will be hosted live with a replay available on April 30th. You can sign up by going to galatimedia.com/workshop. Let's grow our podcasts together. Yeah, I think it's really interesting that how you, when you were talking about where you can find inspiration, you mentioned someone in your industry might be saying something. You're like, ooh, that's good. Let me take that and kind of spin it in this way. And this feels good. I tend to do the opposite.
No. Wait, I want to be in clear. That. I don't, I'm not saying that. I'm talking like Bob Ross or you read a book or whatever. I'm not usually interested in regurgitating other people's things and making them my own. I am not a fan of, be an artist, steal. Like that is 100% opposite. I am married to a professional musician. We highly respect IT and property, you know, intellectual property and stuff like that. I still want to hear what you were going to say, but I want to be wicked clear. I'm not out there necessarily watching everybody's videos and playing off them. I think that there are people who are really good at creating original work. And artists have said for thousands of years, there's nothing original, right? Like everybody's using the same chords in music. It's how you put them together. Everybody's using the same words. It's how you put them together. Okay. So I'm not necessarily interested in regurgitating. I do think though, we'd all be lying to ourselves if we didn't accept that we are influenced by what we see, what we hear, what we feel. That's all I want to say.
I definitely agree with what you're saying 100%. I thought it was interesting that you mentioned like finding something positive and being able to relate it to something. Whereas my brain tends to be like, oh, that's wrong. Or that was a terrible experience. what should people do instead? This is what you're supposed to do instead. And so I love that you. Yeah. Okay. So for example, story time, for example, I was working on a client had sent me an email saying, hey, I was on this podcast and could you promote it in the newsletter this week? Sure. I go to the email that this podcast producer, so this person's podcast, they had a producer. I'm a producer. So I expect high quality stuff from people, right? So this person has a producer. The email was sent from the producer. It had a graphic with my client's face on it, and then it had a link. Okay. I go and I check the graphic. There's literally barely any information on there. It's just the client's face and the podcast title. And then I go to the link and it's the title is my client's name. And I was like, okay, well, what in the world is this episode about? And in the description, it was his bio. And then where to connect with the host. And I was like, how am I supposed to know what this podcast episode is about to even promote it?
Yeah. So no show notes, no takeaways, no timestamps, nothing. So you're supposed to like just pull this out of your magic hat, right? Is
that yes. Or listen to the episode, right? And like this person has tons of episodes. They are using their podcast to generate leads for their business, potentially connecting with people. And I'm like, and your producer who says that they're doing something great is really not. And like, what a missed opportunity, especially for podcasters who struggle with getting their guests to share their episodes. Here's a prime reason why. If you're providing your guests with this, then what are they supposed to do? So what I end up having to do to be able to create a two sentence, this is what the episode was about, because this episode was recorded months ago. I don't expect my client to remember what in the world he was talking about then. I downloaded the audio, ran it through a transcription service, then asked AI, what is this conversation about? You don't want to have to put your guests through that. And so I was able to take that, create two podcast episodes based off of it, of one, how to create SEO-friendly titles, descriptions, etc., and how to get your guests to actually share their episodes.
So your inspiration was still like, okay, this thing happened, wasn't so great, and I'm going to use it. So, I mean, but here's what I want to say to you. If they had done an awesome job, maybe you still would have gotten a couple of episodes out of it saying, this is a great example, like go watch this mm-hmm. thing. But a really great piece of inspiration is when you get annoyed and pissed off. Seriously, as a storyteller, notice what annoys you, what bothers you, what your pet peeves are, where you think, man, they blew that. That was such a great opportunity. This is all content. This is what I'm talking about. What you love, what you can't stand. People talking with vocal fry is an episode, right? It's like, whatever. It is around us all the times. If, and again, this comes back to my main work as a spiritual teacher. If we are slowed down enough to notice, we have to pay attention. And paying attention is one of the greatest ways that we show love and extend love. A mind that is moving too fast is going to miss all of the golden nuggets. So some part of your brain was aware and awake enough to be like, wow, this is wicked annoying. And you're grumbling as you're doing all this stuff. But then you're like, dee. Right? The light bulb comes on. You're like, content, right? It's like, I can create something from this, which goes back to this whole idea of what Bob is saying, use whatever happens, make your own masterpiece. So whether what happens, and I'm not saying to whore out your trauma, I don't mean it like that, right. But whatever happens in our lives, there is something we can glean, usually with enough time and distance and healing or whatever, enough kind of floating above the timeline and being able to see it from a little bit of a distance place. We can look back and say, oh, wow, yeah, there's something there that was useful for me and has either made me become who I am or made me realize how I never want to be.
Yes.
So that person doing a crappy job, you know, you're just like, oh, and it also gives you more appreciation and gratitude for the fact that you do take your time, that you do think about what a listener's journey is going to be or what your client's journey is going to be. you know, what a good podcast does is it doesn't just, I always say, I always want to either educate, elevate, enlighten, or entertain. I want to evoke emotion. I want to create connection, right? And if we do this well, it creates trust. It creates connection. It creates rapport. It creates relatability. And sometimes people want to bond over like a common quote unquote villain. Like, oh my God, yeah. People are going to listen to me. Oh my God, I hate it when people, yes. I hate it when people do that, right? So there's a little story. So I don't know. So when you said, so from that situation, I'm just trying to follow on track. So from that situation that happened, you said you got two podcasts out of it, and you mean your own podcast episodes, correct?
Yes, yeah, my own solo episodes.
Thank that person for doing a crappy job because it inspired you, right? Did yes. you tell any part of the story of where the inspiration came from?
Yes. I was like, yes. Story time.
That's right. So I think that every show that I do, there is a storytelling component because that's the part. So Tolstoy, you know, Leo Tolstoy has this great line. I'm paraphrasing slightly, but he says, A-R-T, it's my accent, at transfers feeling from one heart to another. That's what art does. It transfers feeling from one heart to another. And it removes the distance, the separation between the one who creates the art and the one who consumes it or sees it or hears it or feels it or looks at it or reads it or whatever. Yeah. So as podcasters, this is an art form. This is what we're doing. This isn't just like, oh, it's part of my funnel. Part of my funnel to grow my list. It's like, oh God, just stop, right? It's like, if we don't have any kind of desire for it to be a way to connect to our fellow humans, right? This is what it's really doing, because nobody wants to buy from somebody or give somebody money who they don't trust, like, feel like they know or have rapport with.
Yeah.
And this is what stories do. And it's not like you have to, like you said, you know, how much is too much, right? Because some people will be going online like hashtag vulnerable, hashtag trigger warning, hashtag about to trauma dump all my stuff on you, right? So I think there's a time and a place for that. I mean, I'm an open book. I will talk about all of my stuff, but I'm no longer doing it from a place where I'm still in the wound. I'm now in the place of the wisdom. So what I'm sharing, I'm not in the pain. I'm in the peace, right? I'm not in the experience of the hell of it. I'm in my own new version of the heaven of it. So I can move in those realms. I can take you back to that place and evoke emotion and feeling through what details I decide to share with you without hopefully overwhelming your nervous system, right? I can share, but that's not helpful to people. If you don't have this arc, this story arc, this character arc, like think about Rocky. If we didn't have the scene where he's running through the streets in his gray sweats and he climbs up the stairs and at the top, he's like doing the arms, you know, he'd just be a bum punching meat and collecting for the bookie. You know, we don't want to stay in that lowest moment. It's like, okay, what did we do with that thing? Right?
Yes.
And your clients are on that journey. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a podcaster, if you're a podcast manager, whoever is like listening, I don't want to assume I know your exact audience, but people are coming to you because they're like at the bottom and they're looking to take a journey and go somewhere else. And the thing is to provide them with the means to be the heroes of their own stories by your services or your products or your, you know, however you work with people. So, you know, I always say at the end of my podcast, you know, may you leave the people, the place, the animals, the environment, yourself better than how you found it. Wherever you go, may you be a blessing. So our job is to, when we have listeners, is to leave them better at the end of our podcast than when they started.
Yeah. This has been so good. I feel like I could talk to you forever. But sadly, we can't. Everybody go listen to Karen's podcast for sure. You'll get all of this and more. Where can people find you, connect with you, hang out with you, stalk you on social media, all of that fun stuff?
Okay. So the easiest thing is probably just start at my website is Karen Kenney, K-E-N-N. EY.com. You can find everything there, how to work with me, my podcast, all that stuff. Online on Instagram, it's just Karen Kenny Live, L-I-V-E, one word. Same thing on Facebook. I'm wicked easy to find. I've been around a long time. I'm 55. I've been online since 2000 and whatever. I've been around a long time. I'm easy to find. Just type, if you type in my name right, you will find me. And just thank you so much. I'm on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, but it's all just Karen Kenny. My mug will, my face will pop up. You'll find me. I just want to say, at least, thank you so much for having me, for inviting me. It's been a blast. I love talking with you, and I just appreciate the opportunity so much.
Yes, thank you. This has been so good. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Listeners to Leads. If you found something in this episode valuable, I would really appreciate it if you shared it with a friend who you know would also get value from it. Want to send me a message? My favorite place to hang out is Instagram. You can find me at alicia.galati. Let me know what your favorite takeaway was from the episode. And don't forget, turning those listeners into leads is actually easy.